What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Man, what's up, man? It's your boy Measy. 26 degrees. Our fellow brother Larion couldn't make it today, but we're gonna hold it down like we're gonna do every week. Got my boy Drew, got my boy X here, man. So Drew, how was your weekend, man? How you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. It's Thanksgiving coming up. Gonna be chilling. Went to the this past weekend, went to the USC UCLA game. Watch UCLA put that beating on USC. To the point where even the USC fans were telling Chip Kelly to put 60 on them. It was crazy. But yeah, just been chilling, man. Just waiting for this news about Manny getting fired. It's pretty much what we on right now.
That's what's up, man. My weekend wasn't too bad, man. I came down with a little cold on Sunday. Went to a little holiday Friendsgiving party.
Oh, y'all do that out there on the East Coast? I know that's a West Coast thing.
Yeah, some people do it, you know what I'm saying? Some people do it, but my last job, I was there for like 5 years. One of my ex-coworkers was running a little party. Went out there Sunday morning, feeling a little funky. Then Monday morning, like 2 hours before I had to go to work, man, it hit. I was like, oh, Lord. So I was like down bad yesterday at work, especially teaching with the kids and all that. Made it a little worse. You know, they all always active and everything. I was feeling down bad, but man, I'm getting better. Thanksgiving coming up, man, ready to cook and stuff. You know, X, what about you, my boy? How was your weekend? How you feeling?
Man, my weekend was all right, man. It was cool. You know, kid's birthday was Wednesday. So, you know, obviously, man, just, you know, chilling, trying to celebrate a little birthday with them a little bit. You know, the game Saturday, it rained probably during the game, and then afterwards, that kind of like took a toll on me, man. It rained hard like after the game. So, other than that, man, you know, just a chill weekend, man. We got the dub, we got the W. You know what I'm saying? You never want to, no matter what we're going through, man, you never want to lose. No matter, you just don't want
to. Yeah, man, it makes it work sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, other than that, man, weekend was straight. You know, still waiting, like y'all say, still waiting on this news. I thought it was supposed to drop yesterday. But, you know, it's coming. It's coming. There's no doubt in my mind it's coming. So,
right, right.
Be patient a couple more days or even so after the game on Saturday, maybe. But the news is coming with the AD announcement and all that, so.
Mm-hmm. Right, everybody waiting on that news, man. But like I said, folks, Larion not here. Nobody hosts like Larion, so I'm not even gonna try to mimic him. You know what I mean? Nobody does it like Larion, but we're gonna hold it down regardless. So, went through our little weekend and everything. So,
yep. Over this tech review.
Right. So, Drew. So, I mean, offense, defense, special teams. What you take from the Virginia Tech game, man?
From the offense side, why we ain't do this shit all year? Why we ain't do this against Virginia, against Florida State? If we would have played the first half like we did against Virginia Tech against Florida State, we would have booed them boys out, man. You know what I mean? Like, and then, but what pissed me off about the offense is the play calling and just the conservative, like, BS from Manny, because it's like, I didn't even realize it because I was in LA during the game, but I watched the replay, and I think somebody on No Cap said that with like a minute 20 left in the first half with three timeouts, we took a knee. And I didn't want to believe it at first until I watched the rewatch. And I was like, this motherfucker really took a knee with like a minute 20 left with three timeouts. And like, it's like 1 minute you want to, you know, be happy with Manny and like, okay, he's turning it around. And then he pulls stuff like this. And it's like, this is why you're getting fired. Like, this is exactly why you're getting fired.
Yeah, that was, man, that was, I'm upstairs in the press box looking at this. And I was like, what are we? I'm like, hold on, did he just take a knee?
Even Gilbert was like,
he really did take a knee. Oh my god!
If you watch the replay, even Gilbert like goes to Manny and was like, "What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, we got on, we scoring every single drive, all four drives in the first half, we score. The fifth drive with 1:20 left, with 3 timeouts, we go take knees to go into the locker room, kill all the momentum that we had.
And that's what I keep telling everybody, like. You know, for those Manny fans who talking about he need another year, I'm like, you know, he's still learning. Do we want to go through this a whole nother year because he's learning? I don't want to go through a whole nother year because it'll be the same situation. We learning, you know what I'm saying? And that's just, you know, one thing about certain coaches, man. You got certain coaches who just put their foot on the gas all game.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's obvious the man don't know what he's doing. He don't have a killer instinct. I mean, it's pretty much obvious. Like y'all was saying before the half, kneeling the ball. I mean, Virginia Tech come back and win the game. If they did, everybody's going to be looking at that. And then he'll probably go into the press conference, say something crazy like he always does. But it's obvious he's learning on the job, and he's not even learning fast enough. Like, if he came back next year, we're going to go through some of the same stuff because he's not going to learn that fast. So.
But I mean, like, what is there more for him to learn? Like, I understand he's a defensive coach or whatever, but when you have a quarterback like TVD, who's damn near, what is he, 13th in the country in QB rating, and he's what, like 20th in the country in accuracy, and we don't allow him to like just slam fucking rock down the field, 2-minute offense, like against a defense that's been moving the ball on all game. Like, what more is there for him to learn?
I think Manny, a lot for him to learn. Obviously, go ahead, X.
I think he explained it yesterday when we was on the Zoom with him. I forget who that was who asked him a question about being a dual coach. Basically, you're the head coach and you're the defensive coordinator. And I think he basically said he's trying to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? He's thinking like, boy, I don't want to keep scoring to put my defense back on.
Yeah, but I mean, a minute like.
I mean, it, to us, well, to everybody, it don't make no sense. To him, it makes sense, though. Everybody else, it don't make sense. We like, well, what? Like, okay, that should help you. Like, because if you keep scoring, guess what? It forces the team to be one-dimensional.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But to him, he's like, no, I don't want to put my demons back out there because I don't want them to get tired. But you try to, the name of the game is to score points. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's outside of Georgia, nobody's just stopping people from scoring points. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
I don't get it. You don't get it. Meezy don't get it. 100,000 fans of the world don't get it, but that's the way he thinks.
And let's be honest, I don't think Diaz gets it. Diaz, like we always say, is a salesman. He just knows what to say at times. But do you all think Diaz ever, this season, do you all think Diaz ever kind of tells Lashley what to do? And if he doesn't, why tell him to kneel the ball? Because that wasn't
right. He does because right before, if you watch the replay, right before they went out on the field, Rhett looks at Manny and he says, are you sure? Like, are you sure you want to take this knee? And Manny says, take the knee and walks away. So it's like Red is doing his job as an OC to try and get the approval and the tempo that he needs to run as an offense from Manny. But Manny is not the type of coach that, like X said, is going to keep scoring on you. He's going to want to play field position and play analytics and all this BS. But that shit don't matter when you're up 28-10. Like,
do you all think Diaz was trying to be safe and try to guarantee himself a win? Like, if we try to go for it and we throw a pick six or something stupid happens, a fumble.
I think he got scared when TVD almost threw that pick. Right, on the drive before.
Yeah. He
threw that pick that went through the DB's hands. And then after that, we were just running the ball, like just hoping to get out of it. And, like, we can't have emotional mammy with all these athletes that's just hoping to fucking get into the locker room at halftime with a comfortable lead. Like, we need a coach that's going to want to put that foot down on your neck and like, okay, you guys feel like you're gonna come back. All right, cool. I got here's some new shit that we're gonna pull out on you that's gonna extend this game out and put this shit out of order. Cause I mean, at the UCLA USC game this week, USC came back, got the game 33-26, and then Chip Kelly put that foot down on their neck and then put another 30 points on them. Like, that's the type of coach that we need. You know, if we had a coach like that, we're not losing to Virginia, we're not losing to UNC, we're not losing to Florida State. We're not letting Virginia Tech come back on us. We're not letting Georgia Tech come back on us. Like, we need a coach that's going to put foots on necks out here and fucking just run the score up on people.
I think Manny Diaz is such a nice guy. He doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the coach that say, "Man, I'm gonna just blow this team out because I know we better than them." You can go off from the comment he made last week about after Justin Fournette gets fired, he immediately says, "Oh, they're a well coached team." You're not a well coached team if your coach gets fired the week before the game.
He says that every week, though. He says that every week.
Okay, you see what I'm saying? So, for him to say that, that could tell you right there what type of coach he is. He's not trying to blow this team out because he said they're a well-coached team. Obviously, they don't have a coach, a head coach. They got an interim head coach. Yeah, we're not going to go out there and just beat them up bad because, you know, I feel for them, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, that this is the type of coach we have, and that's what we're here to it. So,
but see, if this happened first or second year, I would feel for him. I don't feel for him, though. Your job's on the line. It's probably not even on the line. He's probably out of here. But third year, I mean, you try to hang 50, 60, whatever you got to do. So I don't feel sorry for him.
And the crazy thing is,
they wouldn't feel sorry for him doing it. So that's why
ask North Carolina, did they feel sorry?
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't. Ask Clemson. As Bama, you know, them teams ain't feel sorry. They're like, boy, keep
drilling their ass.
Keep going. Make them feel it. You know what I'm saying? So, man.
It used to be like that back in the day sometimes. Okay, like, you know what I'm saying? Hang the dogs. We got them. But this is a different sport now.
You know, that's been you on problem. Since Bush Davis left, we haven't hired an alpha male coach that says, just go out there and beat the hell out of the team. I worry about everything else.
Mm-hmm. Golden used to do that. Shannon used to do it. Up by 10, if it's a minute and a half left, kneel the ball, run the clock out.
Even Mark Rick. Mark Rick wasn't trying to blow teams out, you know what I'm saying? But
that old school mentality, man. Run it up.
But it's crazy because when you look at Manny's coaching upbringing, he started out with Bobby Bowden. Bobby Bowden ain't fucking taking no knee.
And I was just about to say that Bobby Bowden always used to say, if they trying to score, I'm trying to score.
Yeah, when he was at NC State, Chuck Amato wasn't taking no fucking knee. Like, at all. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, even when he was at Mississippi State with Dan Mullen, ain't taking no knee. Like, if he got his foot on your neck, he's going to keep scoring.
And the coach who fired him wasn't taking no knee. So
even Mac Brown ain't taking no knee. So it's just like, I don't understand where Manny is getting this conservative coaching from, because it's like his coaching upbringing doesn't scream conservative to me. So like, I just don't understand. It's like, you got the athletes, you got the players, you got the scheme to score. Like, take advantage of that shit. Like,
that's why I don't feel bad. He's had the blueprint and he's just not going with it. I do not feel bad, but all right. So we talked about some of that. Who y'all some? We'll talk about some standouts from offense, defense, special teams. Who are some of y'all standouts from the offense? X, we can start with you.
Obviously Rambo. Rambo.
Hey, Rambo is doing even better. I knew he was gonna have a good year. He's doing even better than what I thought, man. I mean, my goodness.
Not surprisingly, but Mallory started, you know, he keep catching on fire, although they called his one of his touchdowns back.
Mm-hmm.
But he's starting to play. But I kept telling people Mallory is good when you have the other tight end, the second tight end in the game with him. You know what I'm saying? Because Mallory is almost like a receiver. He's almost like a receiver type. He's not a tight end to run short routes and get in and out of short routes. He has a long stride, so he has to run deeper routes.
Do you think he's a number one tight end?
Or next year,
because he already said he's coming back, which obviously he needs to, but do you think Arroyo might be number one? I don't think
he's a number one tight end because, he's bad at blocking.
Horrible.
And then, like I said, he's not a tight end that's getting in and out of routes. He's going to run a 15-yard route where he could do good, but he can't run a 7-yard route and do good because he has a long stride.
Yeah, he takes time to get going. He's like a locomotive.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has been playing better, though. Hasn't been dropping them point-blank passes.
Yeah.
It's been running harder after the catch. So, I mean.
Shouts out to Ray Gone, man. Ray Gone got in the game and did exactly what he's supposed to do.
Yeah. Man, Ray Gone's an interesting player, man. I shouted him out against, who was that, Georgia Tech? Ray Gone doesn't have the physical traits as some of our other linebackers, but he might be our smartest linebacker. Like, he gets to the hole.
There's no question about that. He's,
right, he gets to the hole where it needs to be when he has to, like.
But, I mean, look where Ragone is from. Ragone is from Houston, Texas. So, it's like they breed linebackers out there, and you can't breed linebackers out there with good, proper coaching.
Flag from Texas.
To be honest with you, I don't understand the gripe that people have with Flag. Like, okay, yeah, his foot speed is kind of slow. And sometimes he might hit the wrong hole, but like more times than not, he's still around the ball. He still makes, he still makes hits when he needs to. It's just that like he's just not as athletic. And it's the same thing with Ragone,
I don't think he's not athletic, he's not fast enough. Sometimes I think he reacts a lot faster. I don't know how to explain that because you can see like he'll know the play coming. Mm-hmm. But his reaction to like a cutback is a lot slower.
So you're saying he has the brains, but he's physically limited to.
Yeah.
But you can tell he was like well coached out of high school, just like Ragone. It's just that the foot speed is just not. If we had a team where it just told the linebackers to just hit the hole and go downhill. Downhill, they'll be great at it. But
if he was in a 3-4 scheme, he'll be excellent because all he got to do is just run downhill and make a tackle.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
But he has to play sideline to sideline, and that's mm-hmm. not his physical trait where he got to outrun somebody. You know what I'm saying? But the one thing he could work on, being that if he's going to be that type of linebacker, Sean Spence explained it to us. On our show one time, he said you gotta basically beat that player there, beat him there, so you can make the play. So
I remember that show. Sean Spence said he would look at that offensive lineman's first step, and he has to. I remember that.
So basically, I don't know if that's something he has to work on or if that's something that's coachable. It might be both. All I know is we horrible at that position at coaching. Maybe that's why.
I don't even think it's even him. Maybe at this point in his career, he shouldn't be a starter at Miami at linebacker.
I'm talking about
Flag.
He's a second year guy.
But
you're not.
We've under recruited that position so much. I feel.
Yeah.
Sometimes some of these boys, I'm like, it's not even their fault. They are who they are, and this is what we get in. And so, we want them to outperform.
I mean, we try to move Sam Brooks to Mike Backer. So, that's tell you right there.
Yeah. No, I get all that. Yeah, for offense, for me, it's Rambo, obviously. Van Dyke had another great game.
That close to getting strong like you're supposed to.
Who?
That Franklin.
I was just going to shout him out. That needs more carries, man. He's still not getting the ball. I remember some plays, Knighton, like third and goal, like third and one. We still giving Knighton the ball up the middle. I don't understand that. We all know that Franklin falls forward, had a good yards per carry. So I don't understand the whole. What was Knighton's carry? 16 for 32 yards, something like that.
Something like that.
It wasn't good. That's all. It wasn't good. He got touchdowns, but it wasn't good. So,
do y'all think we're overusing him now? Because he's as small as he is. Do you think? I know he missed the first four games, but I don't want to say overusing him. We're telling him to do stuff he shouldn't be doing.
That I don't think it is. Spread the offensive snaps around. I don't think it's just a Knighton situation. I think it's the entire offense, because it's like this is what, the sixth straight game where all the offensive linemen played every snap. Like, how do you expect to develop your second string players if you're not going to play them? You know what I mean? Like, you have Brinson, Jacoby George is starting to come up, but he only played 15 snaps. You know what I mean? He had like four catches off of 15 snaps. So it's like, so obviously these guys, I just don't get the snaps. Like, at this time of the year, Knighton shouldn't still be getting 60 snaps a game. Like, come on.
Right. And we're not blowing teams out, so they're not getting those little garbage time, playing time minutes. Yeah. So. And the season's pretty much lost, so you got to sprinkle them in. I get that.
I think we do. I think now that's one thing I would say. We do have horrible player management as far as
it's horrible
on the field, man.
It's like our friends are breaking down. Like, James Williams is out for the year. You know what I mean? Like, our players are breaking down because they're playing like 60 snaps a game, you know? And then I've always felt that no player in college football, should, unless you're the quarterback, should play more than 45 snaps. If your team has talent and your team has depth or whatever that you claim that you have, your starter shouldn't play no more than 45 snaps unless it's the quarterback. Like, you should be able to get 45 to 50 snaps out your starters, about 20 to 25 snaps out of your second string players, you know? Like, are the players that you're looking to develop for the future? You know, it's just
that's facts. But yeah, so offense for me, like I said, Rambo, Van Dyke, that Franklin. Also going to shout out Rashard Smith. We should have been doing this a long time ago, but I mean,
they got six touchdowns and get like three snaps a game.
Yeah, it's no point of holding on to the. It's no point of keep saying that about Rashard Smith. I don't know what was going on with that. Defense X said we're gone. Anybody else for you on Defense X?
Man, G-Tech game.
No, I feel you on that. It was we kind of played more collective football, I guess. We gave up a lot of rushing yards, but McLeod had a good game.
Zach McLeod and Nesta they've been two solid players for us this whole year.
Zach McLeod has earned himself some millions these last five games.
Yeah. Zach McLeod's gonna turn into a good 3-4 edge rusher, linebacker.
Somebody like Pittsburgh gonna give him a shot, something
Yeah. Teams like that, he'll be good, man. And the crazy thing is that's what he was in high school. I don't know why it took us to his sixth year to figure that out, but
because we weren't recruiting no linebackers to replace him.
Well, defense, man. You know, defense it's hard for me to give the defense credit, man, because it's just so bad. Like, I don't.
We gave up a lot of rushing yards that game, man.
They was running a straight. I don't even know what type of offense that was called. It was running, but it's like we knew the quarterback was running the ball, and you still just sitting in stupid zones, and I'm like.
I don't understand that, man.
They had two quarterbacks that can barely throw the ball. This is the second week in a row that we allowed a quarterback that can barely throw.
And we gave in so many pockets for them to throw the ball to, like, lining up 8 yards off the ball. I don't get that. I still don't understand hiring T-Rob if you're going to sit there and do all that. And T-Rob specializes, in running the man defense. But what about you, Drew, on defense?
I mean, shout out to Ragone. He's probably, to be honest with you, he's probably our best linebacker right now. From what I've seen, he's the only one out there really making linebacker plays. And
literally.
Like, really making linebacker, fighting off blocks, you know. Like, he made that one play on that screen where he literally took the blocker and drove him back right into the running back. And it's like, if a walk-on can do this, if a guy that can transfer from fucking Arkansas State can do this, then why isn't the four-star linebackers that we're recruiting can't. Like, and people say, oh, play Huff, play all these other guys, but I just don't like, what is it that he's getting that they're not getting, you know? Like,
the brains, maybe, I don't know.
Like,
and like, man, like you said, Drew, he's well coached in high school.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you're a linebacker down in South Florida, you basically playing off your athleticism. You know what I'm saying? You're really going to get coached great at that position because a lot of it is just you just athletic enough and you can run.
Yeah.
There's a lot of speed down here. So what Ray Gone has shown is he was well coached. That play when they threw the screen and he got off the block and made the tackle for a loss was a well-coached play.
Well-coached play.
I'm not saying well-coached by UM, but that was a well-coached play that taught him that.
Whoever taught him that shit back in Pasadena, Texas, motherfucker.
I mean, let's be real. His linebacker coach may have been better than Packy. I mean, and that's nothing crazy to say. So
they have. They know they have.
Right. He might have heard. He might hear some stuff Packy told him in practice. He might be like, I'm not doing that. Like, whatever. Yeah, so we talked about offense, defense. I got the same sentiments pretty much. Offense, we named our players. Defense, we had Ray Gone, McLeod, but defense didn't perform that well Saturday, despite what Avante said.
He's in coverage.
Who?
Avante Williams. He made some plays.
Yeah, he made some plays. He definitely made some plays.
Two plays. What T Rod was saying, explaining about Avante. Avante does have an over aggressiveness. And it could hurt, you know. Vitek couldn't throw the ball on us, so it didn't hurt us that bad. But you could see it. Well, he will be in a spot, and his athleticism would just let it make up play.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Vitek can't throw the ball like that. You know what I'm saying? On the team that can throw the ball, that would hurt. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you know, first year on the field, man. So he's
not even just first year. X. This is what only. Third, fourth game on the field.
Yes, I think with more games underneath his belt,
great outcome.
And the game restarting to slow down for him. I think that over aggression is gonna. He's still, you know, he's still popped up on that. You know, I'm starting to play. You know,
he excited. He back because just a few months ago, he didn't know he was gonna be on the team. Right. So he excited.
Exactly. Right. He's gonna go 100% because he already know what it feels like to have it taken from him. So. Yeah, once that game slows down, he's gonna be a monster at safety.
Right.
Go ahead, X. Whoever the new defensive coordinator gonna be, they gotta figure it out how to get them three on the field and capitalize on it. Like I say, if it was me, people say if they would rather James around the ball. I say if it's me, I want Monte around the ball, and I'll let James be deep.
X, that makes a lot of sense, and you're going against the grain what everybody's saying. Mm-hmm. But Avante, I don't even want to say Avante has more killer instinct than James.
Avante wants to hit. He wants
right.
To hit.
James is more sound at safety right now.
James is more of a finesse player. He gonna hit you, but he want to finesse. Like he want
right.
to scare the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He want to go after that interception. You know what I'm saying? Avante want to hit you.
Yeah.
And he's fast. Well, if he has to go cover a slot, he could cover a slot.
Right, and he has good makeup speed too. So, can cover running backs coming out the backfield, things like that. Mm-hmm. No, I get that. I totally get that. And he's gonna get a little bigger too. He's gonna get a little bigger. He wasn't probably working out as much because of his neck injury and all that. So he'll get a little tad bigger.
I mean, our safety room next year gonna be outstanding, man. With Vontae James,
I think it's gonna be top five.
I think it might be the best position, to be honest with you.
It got to be top. It might be top five because they're all young. They're already getting this national recognition.
Young freshman Marquise Williams going to be coming in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we still got Keyshawn Washington who's starting.
Keyshawn Washington still.
And I like Keyshawn Washington, but the other players are just better. You know what I mean? I like Keyshawn
Washington. Like you said, they all going to be young. All are going to be what? Sophomores. Crazy thing.
Sophomores, right.
In that room next year, I think it's going to be a sophomore.
Every person, right.
Yeah, I always think it's going to be sophomores. Marquise Williams and Brian Ballum. Brian Ballum will be a sophomore. That's right.
So. Right, and Ballum didn't look bad neither, but
he got hurt.
Ballum's hurt this year, though, I believe.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt. He got hurt at the beginning of the year. I mean, in practice, so. Yeah.
Right. Still a player, though. Still a good player. Then last thing we got with the Virginia Tech game, we got special teams.
This might be it.
Jacoby George gonna break one. I mean, we only got one game left, one or two games. Jacoby George, I like him at punt return, man. He's to be best. A true freshman like he is, there is like no doubt in my mind he's not going to catch that ball, which is hard to ask for a true freshman. He's sure-handed, makes good cuts and everything. I'm pretty sure his punt return average is pretty good this year, but I love Jacoby George at punt return.
I think what Virginia Tech made a mistake of that helped us out was their punter outkicked their coverage like three or four times. So by the time Jacoby George got the ball, Virginia Tech their players weren't even within 10 yards of him. So he had that start. And then with the rain and his cutting ability, he was able to break. It actually felt good, the fact that we actually got a punt returner for like the first time in like 4 years since like Berrios was there.
Like, yeah, I love what I'm seeing from him. Not even just this game. I love what I'm seeing from him the whole season. Like I said, being a true freshman, sure-handed, very sure-handed and everything. Hasn't bobbled anything. X, you got anything about special teams? Hadley, of course. He's going to do what he do.
Luke Hadley, the MVP of the team?
You trying to say it again?
I said Lou Hadley, the MVP of the team.
Right. I mean, Diaz said it's not a foregone conclusion. He might not come back next year. Man, he might just be living, loving life in Miami. I don't know.
Man, he loves Miami. He's another one that loves Miami.
Man. Yeah. It depends on what the NFL says, to be honest with you, because him being an international student, he can't get no NIL money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's the only reason why I say he might not come back, because he like, man, they getting his money, and I can't.
Let me ask you a question about Hadley. Do you all think with his kicking style, or his punching style, I should say, do you all think that will affect him in the NFL? Because they don't do that rugby stuff in the NFL. No,
he can kick off of both legs, and he'll drop that shit inside the 20.
No, because a lot of teams do rush him, and he kicks the ball. He kicks the balls like normal kickers, punters. But I think it benefits him because he can kick both ways. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's very accurate. Like if you tell him to kick it on the other hash, he'll get it over there. You know what I mean? He's not gonna kick it down the field. He's gonna move the ball in. And then the way he gets the hang time, or whatever. Like I haven't seen a team return the ball on us on punt return and like since he's been here. So you know the NFL is all about that field position. So I think he's
he does great flipping field position for us, man. So
no, he does.
I mean, you know, that's the thing. But I said that at the beginning. I said, man, what happens when Lou leaves? Like, where we going?
We got another Australian over there.
I haven't seen him. I heard.
Yeah, I heard about him too. I haven't seen nothing from him.
Yeah, but they say from the people that had seen him kick, they say he's just as good as Hadley.
We heard about Fegels too, and we saw how that turned out for us.
Yeah.
But so that was Virginia Tech preview, y'all.
What's y'all grades for offense, defense, special teams?
Oh, that's a bet, Drew. That's a good point.
Offense, I'm gonna have to say,
I'll give him a B.
I was gonna give him a C+ because we didn't run the ball that good.
And then the play calling got too good.
I mean, we scored 28 in the first half and then only 10 in the second half. So that's why I'm giving them the C+. Like, why we can't keep going? Like, why? You know what I'm saying? We scored 28 in the first half. We should be able to score some in the second half.
Mm-hmm. I agree. C+. I just gave them a B. And actually asked for what you just said. I should give them a C+. Like, I'm keep giving these teams too much. Like, if Virginia Tech team is not good.
They just lost their coach. That team had no business being in the same building as us.
They should have been dog food for us Saturday. I'm gonna give them a C+ too. I'm not gonna give this too much. Man, he had a good game, but like you said, the play calling. X, we scored 28 first half, scored 10 in the second half. The run blocking was horrible. Run blocking was horrible. I only said B because of Van Dyke, Rambo. I saw some stuff from Bashard Smith, but I can't give us too much. I'm going to give him a C+. What you think, Drew?
Yeah, I'm a C+, too.
C+. What do you think about defense? Defense, I'm going to give us a
C-. C-?
It's how bad this Virginia Tech team is. C+ on offense, C- on defense. We beat them by what? 8? 10?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's Virginia
Tech. They had their quarterback. What their quarterback ran for like 150 some yards, right?
Not 157 yards. I know what you mean though. He had like almost two something.
I think they had over 200 some yards rushing.
They did. They definitely did.
I'm giving that defense a D minus. Maybe they should get an F.
I'm not gonna argue that at all, X.
Yeah, we only got like one turnover.
We lost turnover, man. That's the crazy thing. Like D has 3 years being a DC. We led the nation in turnovers. And we I don't even think we nowhere near top nowhere of the
We've been the bottom half of college football the last 2 years. The running back had 132 on 20 carries. That's 6.6 yards a carry.
That's not the running back. That's the quarterback.
So the quarterback, it said, was
14. The quarterback ran the ball on us. It wasn't the running backs. It was the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You're right. Both of them. Because Burmeister was 14 for 17. Yeah. And that's, 14 for 17, 10 carries, 52 yards. Blumrick was 5 for 11, 20 carries, 132. No, that's a D. That's a DX. You right. Respect.
We let a Tate Martell clone and a nigga with a mullet run all over us.
I mean, that's DS defense. I mean,
No explanations
for that.
After thinking about that, I'm gonna give them a D minus for the fact that they got that one turnover. Cause it's like we let a Tate Martell clone and Burmeister and a guy with a mullet, third string quarterback, run all over us. Like Damn what, Zach McLeod and Ragone did, because it's like, I don't know, man. I'm just tired of this fucking scheme that we run.
Right. I mean, end of the third quarter, we got to remember, too, it was a minute and a half left. It was a five-point game.
Five-point game.
Minute and a half left. That's a five-point game, man. It was still a dogfight. And that goes into the whole kneeling the ball in the first quarter. Yeah, man. Same combo every week with us, man, with that. But we'll move on to the docket, man. So we got an ode to the actual seniors. We're gonna talk about that too. X hit us with some stuff about some of the seniors aren't allowed back now. Well, I guess the super seniors, but the actual seniors, Harley Carter, Donaldson, Ford, King, DeAndre Johnson, Zach McLeod, Jared Williams.
McLeod can't come back. Harley can't come back. King can't come back.
Carter can't.
Did they come out with something today?
Carter can't come back. I think the only two who could will be DeAndre Johnson
and Donaldson.
But I think
Donaldson both, gonna be gone.
But I don't know. But neither one said anything about leaving. I think both of them will leave.
Did they come out with something today, X? Or you just like remember that when you sent it to us?
You say what?
Did something come out with that today, or you just happen to remember, like after we sent the thing?
No, yeah, when I read it, I say they seniors, they can't come back because last year Harley was a senior, you know what I'm saying? So they allowed him to come back this year.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Carter, you know what I'm saying? Same with King, mm-hmm. Same with Jared Williams.
Even Donald last year too. He just only played in two games, so he got that medical and he never redshirted.
Who, King?
No, Donaldson.
Donaldson. He got medical real, y'all.
He got the medical, so he can use his medical for last year because he only played in the two games, and still can come back. I think
that's what they were saying with King too. Like King can use a medical.
Yeah.
But he don't want to come back. You know what I'm saying?
So, I think King might as well just go ahead and become a GA. Go over at last year to SMU and become a GA because. I don't think he has the body to make it through the NFL. He's had way too many knee injuries and just injuries in college to worry about trying to make it into the league.
Yeah, that NFL is a different ticket, boy. Your body wearing down like that in college, boy, it's gonna wear down in the league. Boy.
In the league, yeah. He's not gonna be playing no quarterback. He's gonna be Antoine Randall.
Well, I think we've heard that he will be open to trying another position.
Shit, he better.
But, yeah, them seniors can't come back. Obviously, I think Gilbert Frieson, he's leaving.
But the funny thing about Friesen is he's considered a redshirt sophomore. So he technically he has two more years of college.
And yeah. But he's going off of being a senior in the classroom.
Classroom, yeah.
You know, one thing about it is when you see your peers that go to other schools and they leave and they're getting drafted, you tend to say, hey, hold on.
Yeah.
That should be me too. You know what I'm saying? So that could be
I just wish our players didn't really think like that, because you know their situation is different. You know, like the next thing on our docket is should they stay, should they go to the league, or should they hit the portal?
That's a disease going on in the program, though. That's been going on for a long time. I mean, Trajan, I know he has some family stuff going on. I heard X will know more than me being down there, but Trajan Bandy left his junior year. I mean, come on. At 5'9".
These guys are leaving for like regular job pay. Like, you know what I mean? You might as well just use your Miami degree to get a regular job. You probably get paid more than the 3 or 4 weeks you're going to be in the NFL. You know what I mean? So it's like.
I want to ask y'all, though. Out of all these seniors who have to leave, Gilbert Frierson, both of your opinions really quick. Why did he not get that much playing time this year? Because I feel like he had a real good season last year, but he was coming on, man. What y'all think it was just a different scheme we was running?
No, I don't think they expected him to leave, so they probably wanted to get Carter more snaps so he can get film for the league, because they probably thinking like, all right, Frierson's only a redshirt sophomore. You know, Carter's a senior. You know, like let's get Carter to snap so he can get that NFL film. And then we still got Frierson for 4 years. I think when Frierson announced that he was leaving or he's going to take part in senior day, I think that kind of shocked the program.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree. And then I would say it was dumb for them to even start Carter over Frierson. Like, that was dumb.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything to lose his position, which was amazingly strange. So I feel like why would Carter start over him?
I think that factored into Frierson's decision. Like, yo, like I didn't lose my job and you guys are gonna start this guy that came from another position over me. Like, what the fuck is the point of me sticking around? Like maybe he took part of senior day and he's just gonna hop in the portal because he got two more years to play in college. So
that was stupid.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I don't think he'll hop in the portal. The Frierson he's a Miami guy. He loves Miami. He had opportunity to decommit from Miami, you know what I'm saying? Like all the other
Georgia
guys. He's a Miami guy, you know what I'm saying? So I think he's gonna go out and test the NFL. He'll do good. Because he could play, he could really play safety or that nickel that the NFL has, the star player. You know what I'm saying? He could play that. Mm-hmm. But, Diaz, man.
I know, man. But yeah, like you said, extra Drew, he's a cane to his bones, man. You never heard a peep out of him this year.
Nothing, man.
Rooted for his teammates.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like. That's why. Like, I feel like him, guys like him and Nesta and Tyreek, I feel like they should come back because, like we've discussed previously on previous shows, who on defense is going to be the leaders? You know, like we got. You know, I don't think Stevenson. I think he kind of played himself out of Greece here. I think Nesta's ready for the NFL. I don't think
there's a lot going on with these players that they should come back. Because say we get a new coach, I mean, say we get Cristobal coming in, who's to say Leonard Taylor and Harrison Hunt won't start over Silvera? Like, they don't have no loyalty to these players. So, yeah, there's a lot going on in the program right now, especially with these seniors saying they're going to come back. But that's just my two cents on that.
I mean, I know Nesta, like I said, Nesta, he's been solid for the last 2 years at the defensive tackle position. So I don't see him coming back.
I understand what you're saying. The new coach,
you just maybe don't pick up too high, but I feel like he'll make a team.
But my thing is though, do you want to make a team or do you want to make money? You know what I mean? Like, do you want to just go to the league, hopefully get drafted in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, go undrafted, and hopefully make the team? Or do you want to come back, develop your skills a little bit more? Because, like, Nesta don't really, like, has, like, pass rushing skills. He just tries to, you know, and that bullying doesn't really work in, like, the NFL, especially somebody.
That's kind of what I was thinking. X, who do you think is the best D lineman on our roster right now? Who, if you was a head coach, you had to put the first D lineman out there, who would you put?
It's 56.
Okay. No doubt about it. Right. This is what I was going to. Who would be your second one?
It'd be Nesta.
Nesta, yeah. Or right. So Nesta might be thinking that, but what if the next coach like Hunt a little better? And then Nesta's not starting next year. Or
Hunt is good too. I mean, you won't go wrong with Nesta, Hunt, and 56 and Taylor. So I mean,
I agree. I just think Nesta might be thinking that too. The next coach, if Diaz don't come back, it might not go.
A lot got to do with, man, players having to wake up early and go to class, and you know, sometimes they be tired of that, man.
I agree.
School and,
yeah, but I mean, their age in the program, like, them motherfuckers ain't got no class. They got like one or two classes a semester. Like, you
know, and they're getting paid now, legal money.
They got like one or two classes during football season when you're a senior. So it's like.
Right. You
know, I don't know, but those three players, I feel like they should come back. Rambo, I'm kind of still like back and forth on. I feel like
Rambo would have made him some money, boy.
Made some money, but I think his size is gonna.
I think Rambo would be a day. He could be a day two pick. Because I just seen the list of the receivers that's coming out this year.
It's loaded. Man, it's loaded. Ohio State got damn three of them.
Nah. Jigba's only a sophomore.
Who?
Jigba Smith, their best receiver. He's only a
sophomore. Yeah, he's a sophomore, but
yeah, he's only
it's still like seven, eight receivers.
Yeah, deep.
That could be in front of Rambo. You know what I'm saying? So,
maybe he comes back next year. It's his size again. Like, he's not going to be an outside receiver in the league.
I won't be mad if he leaves because I'm very confident in the young receivers we got coming back next year, regardless.
So. Me too.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll go into the next part, the docket. Should they stay or should they go? We got some names like Tyreek, Rambo. We already talked about Rambo. We already talked about Frierson, Silvera. Now we have Ivy, Corey Gaynor, Cameron Harris, and Bubba Bowden. What y'all thinking on some of those players?
Ivy took part in the senior thing too, so that's another name that he didn't come back because Ivy is a 4-year player only.
And you say he didn't get invited?
No, he did. He took part in the senior day.
Yeah, he took part in the senior day. So,
but he could still come back. What?
I think earlier this season he said he was going to play in the Senior Bowl. So I don't know.
That's another big thing too. That if they didn't get invited to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I don't see Ivy getting drafted or even getting an undrafted spot, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's gotten bombed in like every single even in last week he got bombed again. Like,
right. Cameron Harris is an interesting one. I say he goes because of that knee injury.
Yeah, no, he gone. He's not coming back.
Yeah, he has to be gone. Yeah. Bubba Bowden, we know, is gone.
Yeah.
The biggest one to me out of this group is Tyreek Stevenson, man. X and Drew, if Tyreek leaves, did he even get invited to the senior?
No, he's only a 3-year player, so he's
even.
You're right. He is.
He's the sophomore on the field. Really a junior, but.
What do you all think? Because Tyreek's a funny one, man. I mean, as of now, to me, he's going undrafted.
Yeah.
One thing Tyreek gonna do is Tyreek gonna go to the combine. He gonna outshine most of the.
You think he'll get drafted?
You think he'll get a combine invite?
I mean, if he comes out, yeah. If he comes out, yeah.
But that's another thing, though. If he doesn't, we're saying if he doesn't come back.
If he comes out, he gets a combine. He definitely gets a combine invite.
So you think he gets drafted?
He comes back, he'll get a combine invite. He goes out this year. That combine invite is going to be up in the air because it's like
what has he done?
Yeah, what did he do this year to really warrant that top 20 spot if in the DB room in the corner, because they only invite like 20 corners. So it's like after all the senior corners and all the junior corners, like,
yeah, man, but it ain't too many corners, man. Everybody getting beat up top and all around the field. So
that's the thing about college football. Everybody getting beat now. That's how college football works.
Get invited, man, and just off of the way he could be multiple positions in the defensive backfield. So
that's not helping.
X, what you think he should do? What do you think he should do? If you were him, would you come back or would you just take your chances?
I'll come back. That was him.
Yeah, I think if he comes back, he's going to be a day one, day two draft pick. If he comes out this year, he might go day three, and he might go on draft.
So, and then, you know, a lot of it had to do with, like you said earlier, Drew, playing all them snaps, man. His body got pulled down, man. He mm-hmm. hurt, and he's mm-hmm. still playing through it. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. He only played 26 snaps last week.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, I think if he does come back next year with a whole nother year.
Wait, how many snaps?
26.
That's not a lot of snaps, though, if you start in that corner.
No, because he's hurt.
He was hurt. He was hurt.
You're right.
Yeah, he hurt his shoulder.
He was hurt. Like Marcus Clark was in the game for him a lot. You know what I'm saying? That's why you seen 28 out there. So, I'll come back if I'm him.
Yeah,
I think he should come back. And I'm saying that too on some of these players. I wouldn't have said it before about previous years because they are making them some money, a little money now.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of changes things with that.
I think the only ones who we know who can come back, who we know that they aren't going to come back, is Bubba,
Sam Harris,
Rambo Harris,
Silvera,
Nesta. Who else?
We got another one, Corey Gaynor. I mean, he's coming back.
But I think he should hit the portal. If he
might not, because he's, as of now, he's second string.
Yeah, he's second string.
And again,
he lost his position anyway, so.
Yeah, so I think he need to go ahead and hit that portal because we need the spot so we can't have fifth-year linemen sitting on the bench taking scholarships.
I don't want him hitting the portal because after our starting center, I mean, who do we have playing center with experience? That's the only reason.
With experience?
But I mean, like...
At center.
But what's his experience, though? Getting pushed back off the ball every
time? No, I like, agree with that. I totally agree, but we don't just don't know what the other centers...
Man, they was working Big Baby Larry Seymour
At center
in the early, at beginning of the year, so they might move him back. You know what I'm saying? Because Clark will be a senior, I think.
No, Clark will be a junior. He's a redshirt sophomore on this.
Now remember, Clark came in and started as a freshman. So yeah, obviously, okay, he's a sophomore. So, but he'll be a junior.
Yeah, he'll be a junior next year. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
and we still got 2 years.
The one good thing we haven't heard is anything about Zion. Like, we hope that Zion stays.
Yeah,
that's interesting. X, you said that. That's very interesting. You said that because Jarrett Williams is out of here.
Jarrett Williams can't come back.
Like, yeah, man,
he can't come back.
He don't got no more eligibility.
Yeah, because they pension about it if he comes back because. That motherfucker gonna retire as a college football player.
If we get somebody like Cristobal, Jarrett Williams coming back. Not Jarrett Williams. I'm sorry.
Zion
coming back.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Zion coming back. All right, so we off that part. Should they stay or should they go, man? Next thing we got is what are we doing with Manny Diaz? Manuelo, the non-Spanish speaking. Manny Diaz.
Danny,
speak Spanish?
Yeah, what? Hey, we got all kind of nicknames. We can talk all night about them nicknames.
Yeah, if he can't
speak. Car salesman.
If he can't speak Spanish, then he definitely got to go. I don't trust Spanish people that can't speak Spanish.
Man, you know what's crazy, man? I was listening to Caneville yesterday. Shout out to Street, man. he asked Manny a question yesterday, and I was watching it live, and I almost threw up when he asked him that question. Streeter asked him, we have the number one class on the Coastal every year. Basically, why are we not winning the Coastal? Why are we struggling to win the Coastal? The way Manny Diaz choked up and asked him to repeat the question, I was like, oh my gosh, man. That was ridiculous. I saw it live on my break, on my phone, watching it. And I was like, did he just ask this man to repeat the question? I was like, you heard what he said. So he asked it. Streeter asked him the question again.
Basically say, man, for 15 years, you has out recruited everybody on the Coastal side of the ACC. In the last 5 years, you have put more players in the NFL than anybody on the ACC. Why isn't that translating to success on the field? And Manny Diaz was like, he didn't know how to answer the question.
Yeah, nah, verbatim, Diaz said, can you repeat the question one more time?
Yeah, he said, can you repeat it? Right. He would be trying to answer. He was like, he didn't know how to answer the question.
He knows the answer. He knows that his coaching sucks. And the coaches that he's hired sucked. You know what I mean? So he knows exactly what the answer is. He's just not going
to. He copped out by saying, I haven't been here for 15 years. I'm not responsible for 15 years. You know what I'm saying? But you are for 6 years.
Then he wants to talk about getting better players. And I'm looking like, this man just told you we've had better players. So, like, what are you saying?
But, like, and I can't stand when he says, oh, we need to get better players, because then that goes back to your recruiting evaluations for the last 6 years, because these are your players, bro. Like, these players on defense, you either were the head coach or the DC. So you had input on what players you want to recruit in your system or not. So when you sit here on the podium say, oh, yeah, we need to recruit better players, and then how about you stop recruiting shitty players if you feel like you need to recruit better players? Like,
man, even that they're recruiting shitty players. It's just, I mean, he's a linebacker coach. Who's the worst position on our defense? I mean, that says enough right there.
I mean, if you look at our linebackers, we have 1 4-star linebacker on the team.
And we try not to get into the stars, but I understand what you're trying to say, though.
And it's tough.
We have one out of 9 returning players at linebacker. One of them was a 4-star. And that's Avery Huff, and he can't even get on the field. So that right there tells me about who you're recruiting, who you're evaluating, who you're ignoring. Because it's like, bro, like you limit yourself on players, because it's not like they really offer a lot of players. And then when they do offer a player, if he's not at the top of the board, they don't even communicate with him until like the last 3 weeks of the season when they're scrambling to get players into the class. So, like, I just don't understand what, like, Manny's thought process and even saying that, like, yeah, we need to recruit better players is if these are the players that you recruited, like, you know, like, just own up to the fact.
We're talking about Ryan Ragone today. I mean,
a fucking walk-on,
Ragone, but let's be real.
A fucking walk-on that walked on at Arkansas State and transferred to Miami as a walk-on.
Right. Yeah, we're not shading Ragone at all. Ragone can do what he's supposed to do, but Manny, this is Manny's position. I mean, but anyways, answer the question, what are we doing, Manny? How do y'all feel about, so we had Nyleet Kelly on campus, a DN. We had Shamar Stewart on campus today, both of them on campus today. How do y'all feel? I think Manny's doing his job. He's going to keep recruiting. Everybody keeps recruiting, even if they know they might get fired tomorrow. They got to keep recruiting because you never know. What do you all take from that?
I think Mario told him to go on campus to check out their dorm room because he wanted to be there in 2 weeks.
I mean, I wish that's what it was.
I mean, like, doing his job.
Manny Diaz doing his job. A coach not going to go and tell his players, "Oh yeah, I'm fired." He's not going to tell the media I'm fired. He's doing his job until they fire him. Like, that's it. As far as Shamar and Najee Kelly, I don't know if people follow me on Twitter or IG. I tell people all the time, like, I think these are players that don't want to leave South Florida.
Mm-hmm. X, that's what I took from them busy today. They're trying to give us every ample opportunity there is to keep them. Even with Shamar, I don't even know if it matters who is the head coach. I honestly feel like
Shamar not signing until February, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I tell people don't even worry about that situation. Like if Mario comes, that's a done deal. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm hearing Kelly is leaning towards Oregon. So if we get Mario, I mean,
Kelly, listen to me. Kelly loves Oregon. That boy took that visit to Oregon. They love it. They love it. But again, Mario.
His mom loves it too.
Yeah. But we got to remember his mom's a track coach. So she probably loves it for track reason. Because Oregon's a big track and field school. So.
Yeah, but I think that's just me personally. I think he's another one, along with Wesley. I think them kids don't want to leave South Florida.
No,
you know what I'm saying. So Wesley was at the game again Saturday.
He was there with Shamar. Shamar still
like what the fifth game this year.
Right. After we lost to Florida State.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went. We went and lost to Florida State. But Elliott, Cristobal, Wesley to Florida State. And everybody in the fan base started hitting me. Hey, man, what's up with Wesley? I'm like, well, what y'all talking about? He's like, man, they crystal ball in the Florida State. I'm like, so? I'm like, okay.
Florida State guy, too, so.
Right. Yeah, like, it's cool, man. But, Manny got to go. He got to go, man. We can't have another year of this.
There's no way.
We can't keep Manny because it's like, if we're going to keep him, We're gonna fall in a situation that was similar to like USC with Clay Helton, where is he gonna get fired? Is he gonna get an extension? That fourth year, like with recruiting, with that, you know, uncertainty is gonna be killer. We're better off with a new coach than keeping Manny around, because if we keep him around and we don't extend him, He's gonna start having to answer, are you gonna be here next year? Are you gonna be a coach when I sign? Like, you know what I mean? So like I just feel like we need to go ahead after the Duke game, win or loss, tell Manny, like, hey man, thanks for the 3 years, thanks for the 6 years in the program. But you know, we gotta go in a different direction.
Yeah, we gotta go in another direction, man. Yeah,
I'm thinking even bigger. The new AD who we're hearing is Tom Jurek from Louisville, who I think would be an excellent hire. Louisville loves him, what he did with the whole athletic program and everything. But whatever AD we get, and shout out to Footballville, shout out to X Street, man. They've been dropping a lot of this news early. I don't know what's going on. People not shouting them out.
Yeah, man. Tell all the people they better start stealing my information.
Man, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on with that. Like, it baffles for me. I don't know if it's just two black men. People thinking, oh, ain't no way. Like, these dudes been saying stuff since Michigan State. I mean, that was like the third week of the damn season. Everything's coming to fruition, what they've been saying. I don't understand that, but.
Man, I'm going to tell you off topic. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. What it is you just said you got two black men who are prototype media, who has access to more things that the media has. Like, we have personal access to players, coaches, parents. We have personal access to sources that
they don't like that.
They don't like it.
They don't like it.
And I can't help it. I mean, that's who we are, man. You know what I'm saying?
And keep doing what y'all do, man. And it's a blessing having you on the show, X, but I know, coming from I don't even want to put race into this, but I know what it is. Like, I don't go on Twitter talking crazy, but I know what it is. They're not doing it, like you said, doing it the way they do it. Y'all are different. Y'all move how y'all want to do it, and y'all are right. Y'all can talk to the players better than they can, relate with the family and everything. They don't understand the way y'all are moving, and they're not going to understand, and they've been doing this for years and years and years, and y'all come in here and shutting the show down. And
I'm gonna tell you one thing. It took us a little minute because we've been, I think this is our fifth or sixth year with you, Worm, what we're doing. It took us some time. It took us some time, man. Because at first, man, it was worse than this, man. Trust me. I used to be upset all the time because I'm like, dang, like these people really don't show me no respect when I come out here and I'm just doing the same thing they doing. But now, they show me respect. But it's still like, man, you can still see them. Like, we still that same little.
Like, they're showing y'all respect because but they might not want to.
And I just don't get it because Miami has some of the worst beat writers out there, to be honest with you. Like Susan and Barry Jackson, they, oh my God. I don't know how like our players and our coach can get through a press conference with them asking questions. Like I just don't get it.
Yeah, they got to the point where I can't even ask questions no more. So like that one question that I did get to ask. It made them look foolish because they were like, oh, right. Wow, he really asked that?
Yeah, man. I just turned 31 2 months ago. I was on his website, Real Cane Talk. I was on it when I was like 15. I remember Streeter and them, Goddard doing the whole Duke Johnson thing. And so I'm just loving seeing the growth coming from a young buck, watching y'all now. Like, I know y'all legit. You know what I mean? I know y'all legit. I'm loving the growth and everything. But, the respect factor, it has to come into fruition. Like,
you know, one thing about me, man, is I've always been one where I don't care about anybody other opinions about me. You know what I'm saying? Because I just do what I do. And as long as you do what you do, man, and you respect yourself when you're doing it, you know what I'm saying? It's going to always be people who hate you, but it's going to always be a lot of people who do love you. You know what I'm saying? And I get more love than I get more hate. So that's all I care about. It don't matter.
Right, man. Y'all keep doing y'all thing, man. Yeah, we love y'all around here. The Canes fans should know. But yeah, man, shout out to Street and X, man. X, I call you the real field general, man. Them real field generals down there, man.
Yeah, like, it's so funny, man. Somebody called me that Saturday while I was walking inside the stadium, and I was like, I just bust out laughing. I like, look at me, he calling me the
field. You're right, man. Hey, them real field generals. I don't say that just to be talking. Them real field generals down there, man. I respect that. You know what I'm saying? I love that about y'all. Like I said, it's a blessing having X on the show, man.
So, Lake just came out with some new notes on the AD search. And just a couple of things he said. He said, don't expect the AD to be hired this week. They're actually getting a lot more interest than they thought they would, including some from some sitting ADs from some big-time programs. So they're actually going to do like a whole like interview process and search. So that to me tells me if there wasn't a lot of interest, Jurich was probably going to be the AD. But now I guess some heavy hitters reached out about the position. So
I feel they still might know who they want, but Miami just might be trying to get it right now. I mean, how many times have we not had an interview process with people that matter? So maybe that's going on. Mm-hmm. Like I was just saying, X and them going to know more, but they're going to have to, you know what I'm saying, interview anyone who's interested, get this thing right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I respect that, man, just rushing, because don't rush. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Earlier today, yesterday, Dan Mullen got fired, right? Yesterday?
Sunday.
Okay, so Dan Mullen's get fired. It's almost like Florida is in a panic to hurry up and hire.
They're moving fast.
Yeah, it's almost like they in the higher panic mode. Because look at USC, LSU, they not rushing anything, you know. The guy who USC was going after, he just got, a 10-year contract?
10-year extension, yeah.
James Franklin.
I think USC is going to hire Eric Bieniemy once the NFL season's over. Yeah, because
he went to USC, didn't he?
No, he went to Colorado, but he's from LA.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's from the neighborhood.
That would be a great hire, I think, too, for them.
Hmm.
Ain't no way that man's still an OC right now. He should have got a job somewhere, but we know what time it is with that, though. But
yeah, because USC, you know, they're not a type of school where they get a lot of kids to sign early. California kids, they kind of wait till the February signing day, and that's always been USC's motto. recruiting is like those last 2 weeks of recruiting. That's when they get all their big dogs, all the big 5 and 4 stars from California. That's when usually when they commit USC. So, like, I feel like with them, I think they're just gonna wait till the NFL season's over and go ahead and go hire Bieniemy as the head coach.
Right. I think a lot of people have to stop thinking about recruiting classes when they're trying to get a head coach, right? Because I'll mess it up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's no recruit worthy enough to mess up or rush a head coach and hire, man. That's just me in my opinion. You know what I mean? Because as much as these boys even bust.
You're right.
Yeah, if these boys bust, there's no point in rushing a head coach and hire. I'd rather a recruit I get bust than the head coach hire I get the bust.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
come on now.
I mean, and then it's not a rush this year because obviously you could hit the transfer portal, so it's not that major of a rush. You know what I'm saying? So it'd be different if we had 20 some players already committed. We had a top 10 class, and then he'd be like, "Boy, y'all gonna fire the coach?" And then everybody starts saying, "Hey, okay, let's decommit."
Yeah,
it's different. You know, we got 8 commits.
And mm-hmm. nobody is worthy enough in this class to keep because of a head coach. Like, I love Ja'Cory Brown, but quarterback situation in Miami, we might be set for 2-3 years.
Ja'Cory Brown is a cane. That boy.
Yeah, he's going to be a cane. Yeah, I understand that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, speaking of Ja'Cory Brown.
The only guy who I think end up leaving out of that class would be maybe Isaiah Horton.
Because he's an out of state kid. It's kind of hard.
Yeah, but he's nobody worth to, like, keep before a head coach, though. I think those – I mean, I love Kamari Rogers, but, I mean, it's nobody – to me, I don't care if you're the number 2 recruit in the nation. Nobody's worth keeping to keep a head coach. Like, that doesn't make sense. Let's be real. Everybody loves the recruiting rankings and all that. That's just my opinion.
It's time, like – that recruit ranking, that's timeline talk.
You know? Right, man. It's right. That's ammo for fans to talk about the rivals.
It means nothing because once they get in college, they got to line up and put it up. Like everybody else. Obviously, you see some of these players paying out. Some of them don't. Some of them transfer. It don't matter. You know what I'm saying? It's timeline challenge. That's it.
Right. Look at our 2019 class when we was like had the 8 class. I mean,
who's 2018. Yeah,
18. Who's still here? I mean,
who's still here on it, man?
Hey, that was bad, bro. That class hit the fan, but I'm not
Cam
even
Harris, players. Cam Harris.
I'm not putting it on the players. Some of them didn't work out. That's what's gonna happen though. But it's the person,
I think the only ones here are Cam Harris and what Nesta.
Rebin left already.
Mallory was in that class.
Mallory, four
was 2017.
Okay,
but how many out that class are going to get drafted from Miami? That's the crazy thing, man.
No, what? Like half of them players not on that team anymore,
right?
Yeah,
what's his name left too? The wideout. Went to Illinois.
Hightower left. The one who left and went to Georgia.
You got Lingard. Lingard left. Went to Florida.
Left and went to Georgia.
Darren Williams. Mark Pope. Wiggins.
Yeah, half that class either didn't show up, didn't show up on the field, or left the program.
That's why I say get the person who's coaching these boys right, and don't think about the class, man. That's exactly why I just said that. We just ran that down, man. That's exactly why I said that.
I'm looking at it right now. Out of the 2018 class, of all the players that we got at least 3 years on the field from, was Brevin, Nesta, Pope, Blades, Scaife, Harris, Hall, Frierson, Mallory, Ivy, Wiggins. And Jordan Miller. Everybody else either left early, like Russo left early.
I didn't even mention Lingard
because he didn't even play.
Right. Still ain't playing.
Like, you may as well have to be a 6-year bench player. That's crazy.
Yeah, but we're not talking down on any players, man. We just put into perspective. Don't worry about the class, man. That'll figure itself out, man. You get the head coach right. Who's coaching these players? Leading these players.
Bad, like we'll probably go more in depth with this next week, season talk. But if you look at the 2017 class, it's even worse. Like that,
you know, class. I remember that class. That was Diaz when he first came in.
Listen. Look at the 2016 class. That's even worse. I think the 16 class. No. All jokes aside.
Hey, pull it up. Drew, pull it up real quick.
I got it right here.
18 players in 16 class, if I'm not mistaken.
16 class, we signed 19.
19. Out of those 19, only what, 6 played?
Yeah, let's just go down some of these names in the 16.
Shaq.
Sam Bruce didn't make it past.
Jack Allison.
Soft. We had Shaq. Ahmad Richards got hurt. Career ended. Joe Jackson.
You only had Shaq. Mike Pinckney. Zach McLeod.
Joe Jackson was in that class. He left.
Jackson. Ahmad Richards.
Travis Homer, he didn't show up until his senior year.
Homer was in that class.
I thought Homer was in that class.
Okay, and Homer then.
Yeah, Deontay Mullins wasn't here more than a semester. Pat Bethel, I guess he was serviceable.
Okay. Pat Bethel, he played 4 years for us.
Yeah.
What's his name? He got
Romeo
Harris. Trent Harris is in that class.
No.
Trent Harris way before them.
Before that, bro.
Romeo Finley, my bad. Okay, was that 7?
Romeo Finley had a good year at striker his last 2 years.
Yeah. And so then after that, Javonte Haskins, he transferred. Transferred. Malik Young.
Boy from Virginia, I remember him.
Malik Young got hurt. Malik Young.
And y'all know what's crazy about, you know how many players from the last, like from them two classes who didn't make it at Miami, and we still hands down the most talented in the Coastal? That's crazy. Hands down, the most talented in the Coastal, and we can't win nothing but 7 games.
It's so amazing.
16, 17, 18, them classes
were straight disappointments.
Straight
disappointment. Because the 16 class, if you look at it, the 16 class.
And pull up 19 real quick, Drew, just real quick.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap up soon, but pull up 19 class real quick.
Okay. Yeah,
we'll be able to tell like what's going on with the 19 class by now.
Yeah. All right. So just to recap, the 2016 class, we were ranked 22nd in the country. The 2017 class was ranked 12th. The 2018 class was ranked 8th. So we had improvement, and we still didn't improve on the field. And then the 2019 class, that was the transition class from Rhett to Manny.
To Diaz.
Yeah, so
go ahead, talk your shit. I hear you. Go ahead, Dodger.
That was what, 20? We was 20 something.
27th in the 19 class. But if you look at it though,
good players we signed.
A lot of our players that are starting came out of that class. So this goes to your point, Mizzy, where a lot of times you can't really look at the rankings because we were ranked 27th, but in this class you had Keontre Smith, who starts. Jafari Harvey, who starts. Corey Couch, who gets a lot of playing time. Jared Harrison Hunt, who starts. Larry Hodges gets a lot of playing time on special teams. Who else? And Zion Nelson was in that class. Starts. You know, Ty Clark starts. Lou Headley.
Yeah, we lost that defensive tackle from New York. Was it Blissett, right?
Yeah, we lost Blissett out that class. He got hurt. Jalar Holly couldn't make the grades. Cam Williams couldn't make the grades.
But some of those players, even in that 27 class from 19, Zion Nelson, we thought he might have been one of our best players on offense. Harrison Hunt might have been one of our best players. Keontre Smith might have been one of our best players on defense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. those some good pieces from that class, though, at the same time. And those might be some of our best players on the team, for real, if you think about it.
And if you look at the transfer class out of the 2019 class, you had Chukwuemeka Nwagwari, the D tackle from UCLA. He was
serviceable. Bubba Bolden was in that class, wasn't he?
Bubba Bolden was in that class. Jalen Phillips was in that class. Trayvon Hill was in that class. KJ Osborne was in that class. The only transfer that really busted out in that class was Asa Martin, the running back that came from Auburn.
Auburn, yeah. He went to Memphis after that. He ain't paying out anywhere, though.
We had Tate Martell, who's still trying to play quarterback at UNLV, and Tommy Kennedy, who Dillon's.
Oh my gosh.
From Butler, right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I think that was the worst pickup ever.
Had to be. They said, man, I remember Nesta, practice Nesta, course, they Nesta, said he Nesta doesn't even look like he's on the field.
Like, Nesta used to bully this man in practice every day. And I used to laugh. Like, y'all just gonna let it keep happening.
And it got to a point, some of the people who would watch the practices would wonder, like, how he even played at Butler, which is crazy.
But you know what? I said that at a time when we picked him up, that, like, why are we taking a transfer from a no scholarship school? Like, if he wasn't good enough to get a scholarship out of high school, what makes you think he's good enough to play at the FBS level?
O-line recruiting.
At the offensive line. He wasn't even good enough to get a scholarship out of high school. So, like yep. I understand if you would have went to a JUCO and then, you know, shined at a JUCO.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you coming from no scholarship FCS ball, you know, like, not even JUCO players are going there, you know? So it's like he never proved himself, and then he gets to this level and he gets better practice and gets, you know, all confident.
That was bad, man. But, yeah, so 19 class was all right.
I mean, there's some misses in that class, though. We missed on.
You're going to have your misses in every – I don't care if you Bama. You're going to have your misses, though. You know what I'm saying? That's why you got to get the
best. I don't know if Bama missing. Bama ain't been missing.
Bama going – I mean, Alonzo was a number 8 player, didn't pan out. You're going to have your players here and there. But I know what you mean, though. Like,
even with
Bama, Ohio State, their bust rate is very low, but they'll have 5 stars who bust. You know what I'm saying?
But even their players that bust, to be honest with you, even their players that they bust and transfer out, they'll go to another school and ball the fuck out. So it's like it's not like our players are transferring up out of Miami. Like, what player that left Miami that was recruited under these last 2 staffs that really went to another school and did anything, like, even start, you know?
Yeah, besides Perry.
Yeah, besides Nicozi and what's the DN that we had played over
Scott Patchen.
Scott Patchen. Other than those two, like, nobody else that we really recruited that transferred out has done anything.
Now, so, I wouldn't mind having Scott Patchen this damn year.
No, I wouldn't mind either.
Yeah, like, so we talk about that, y'all. We're gonna do a Duke preview, and then Drew's gonna got some Miami basketball talk for us, and then we'll wrap it up with, it's Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? We'll wrap it up with what are we thankful for as a Miami fan, talk about some of our Thanksgiving plans, and we're gonna go up and get out of here, man. But Duke preview, we gonna probably beat the dog crap out of Duke. This game don't even matter, man. I mean,
yeah,
it is what it is. We might win. To me, I'll give my real quick prediction. 40-17, whatever. I mean, who cares right now? The Duke game is Duke. Got him at home.
It's kind of like a lame duck coach versus a lame duck coach situation.
Duke, right. We beat the doors off Duke last year and came out looking stupid against North Carolina. I mean, no, not North Carolina. Or Oklahoma State. Or whatever, but let's just say one thing I'll say to be thankful for is Duke's not gonna beat us this year like they did a couple years ago when we had DJ Dallas and them in that rain game. Yeah, I'll say like 40-17. TBD does his thing, and hopefully the next day or something, man, we start handling business with the admin and stuff like that. But that's my little Duke preview. I ain't gonna go too long about that, but X and Drew, what you got going on with it?
I think because of the way we just hold back the reins whenever we get a lead, I'm gonna say we're gonna win 35-20. It's gonna be a situation where we're gonna jump out on them, get a big, and then man is gonna hold the ball.
If Duke scores 20 points on us, I ain't gonna like that at all.
Nothing in me is telling me that Manny likes to blow out teams.
Are you going in and out a little bit?
Hey, so what if I was to say maybe Manny Diaz is holding Lashley back because he knows Lashley is basically auditioning for a head coaching position.
If Manny's doing that, this goes back to what you said earlier. He's being way too nice and thinking about everybody but himself right now.
Yeah.
Manny Diaz need to worry about himself.
He need to worry about his own job.
If Lashley gets offered that job, I don't care if we win 100 or nothing next week. Lashley, with what went on this year, you know what I like about what Lashley said, though? And I don't like what Manny said. It's almost like Lashley was in the SEC. He's been in big-time programs. More experienced than Diaz, too. Lashley said he knows how this job is. It's week to week. You coach him for your job every week. I wish Manny would say something like that. You know what I mean? But Lashley knows what comes with his job.
Manny's the son of a politician, man.
Right. I mean, we always say that. We always say that. But if Manny hold him back about that, Manny's already, if say Manny is holding him back, it's coming out today. Lashley, if Sonny Dykes leaves SMU for
TCU,
right, Lashley's going to be one of the first in the run for the job. So Manny might be the only one not coaching this year. How about that?
It's happening. So it's already happening.
From what I'm seeing on the TCU message, they're just waiting for Dykes to finish coaching this last game at SMU, and then he's going to be coaching.
Right, that'd be a good pickup for TCU. I mean, I like Sonny Dykes. I like Sonny Dykes. And kind of find out after Lashley got here, a lot of that offense Lashley had there was a whole lot of Sonny Dykes input, because that offense didn't let up after Lashley left. And that tells me a lot about a program and what a head coach is doing.
Yeah. I mean, that goes back
a whole lot.
Goes back to your point where making sure that we get the right coach is better than making sure we get the right players. Cause like Dykes didn't lose a beat. He scored a lot of points at Cal. He's scoring a lot of points at SMU.
That's what Dykes gonna do.
That's what Dykes gonna do.
And I was watching Ohio State game against Michigan State this weekend, right? And I tweeted out, I said Ohio State just have the same system. Because it's no way for a quarterback to leave from Ohio State and not be good in NFL. But we've seen they don't have good NFL quarterbacks, but they always have good college quarterbacks. Their system is just good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of Sonny Dykes, he helped produce, if I'm not mistaken, Rob Likens as well. I think Rob Likens from that coaching tree.
Was his wide receiver coach at Cal.
Right. All right. Drew X, give you a Duke prediction real quick. We're going to move on. Go ahead, get up out of here.
Ah, man, I don't even care, man.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we can move on from the Duke game for real, y'all. I mean,
I'm gonna go ahead and say 45-10.
All right, Drew, what about you?
35-20 for me.
35-20.
You know, okay. I just don't scheming to stop anybody, and I feel we're gonna jump out to a big lead, and we're gonna slow it down. So,
yeah, we might start kneeling the ball in the third quarter if we up too big. Who knows? But Drew, go ahead and give us some of your basketball notes real quick, man.
Yeah, just recapping last week's game against FAMU. The basketball team pulled out the W, so now they're 3-1 on the season. They beat FAMU last week, 86-59. I actually watched this game, so better understanding of the program of the team. And we might actually do some things. We got guard play going on right now, good ball movement. We might actually do some things. We might be a little bit better than I thought they would. Do I see a tournament team? No, I don't see a tournament team, but I see an improved team versus last year, as long as we don't get a whole bunch of injuries. We don't have a 5'8 point guard no more. Chris likes. He's not in the program no more. So we might actually be pretty decent this year in basketball.
Yeah, depending on who this new AD we get, man. If they hit about his business, I mean, Miami might let go of Larry Nager like halfway through the season, depending on how it's looking, man.
Yeah,
should have been happening.
And then upcoming, we have the ESPN. Men's Invitational. So it's one of those ESPN early season basketball tournaments. Our first game is going to be on Thanksgiving. We're going to be playing Dayton on ESPN2. Winner of that game is going to play the winner of Kansas and North Texas. So that should be a good barometer of where we're at as a program. If we can beat Dayton, not a slouch program. And if Kansas gets past North Texas, that should be a really good barometer of where we're at.
Right. And then after that, we Big Ten ACC tournament coming up soon.
Yeah, we got Penn State on December 1st in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. We got a couple of good games basketball wise coming up. At the season, if we're gonna be a tournament team, outside of Duke, the ACC is pretty good for grabs.
Yeah, because I think North Carolina fell to Purdue Saturday.
Yeah, they did.
X over there. He know that score. But all right, man. Last thing. What are you thankful for as a Miami fan, man? So y'all can go ahead and say what we thankful for as a Miami fan, leading up to Thanksgiving and everything. And then y'all can say some of y'all quick Thanksgiving plans.
And I'm gonna sit in front of the TV, watch some football, eat some food, sip on me some Hennessy, obviously.
You gonna get some wings?
Huh?
You gonna go to Tootsie's and get some wings?
Man, I just might slide.
That's why the folk don't like X. They like how he spent half his time in Tootsie's and know more than we do. They don't like that, man.
They be overworking themselves. I'm like, man,
right.
I'm finna have some fun too.
Right. Hey, X, you cooking anything or you had enough of that with the tailgates?
Yeah, I had enough of that, man. I'm done. I'm gonna let the family cook, man, this week.
Okay, man.
But I'm thankful for just, you know, being a part of that UM culture, man. That culture is unmatched. You know what I'm saying? If you know the real truthness from the 80s on to now, that culture is unmatched. You know, it's a special place, man, and it's just, I'm thankful. I'm just thankful. I'm not gonna say we lose it, man. I'm just thankful, man, just to be a part of that culture. That's all.
No respect, man. I'm chilling for Thanksgiving, man. I'm not gonna go home. Some of my family coming up for Christmas, man. I'm gonna cook me a little ham, a pork shoulder, collard greens, macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes, collard greens, all that. So I'm gonna get down for Thanksgiving, have my little sister over. But what I'm most thankful for as a Miami fan, man, through thick and thin, I love these boys, man. I love these boys. Like, it's part of my life. Like, it's really part of my life. You know what I'm saying? So Miami's it's crazy. Watching Miami football's taught me about a lot about life, as crazy as it sounds, man. Sometimes when something ain't going right, you gotta like not let go, but just, you know what I'm saying, let it breathe, things like that. But I bleed this orange and green. I love it, man. That's why I'm a part of this show. That's why I do what I do. I love it, man. But yeah, that's what I'm thankful for. That's some of my Thanksgiving plans. And what about you, Drew? Out in Cali? What y'all be eating out there in Cali for Thanksgiving, man?
Man, they be having these Friendsgivings, yo. I got a Friendsgiving to go to tonight. But, yeah, I think I'm gonna fire up tonight.
What time it is over there? It is like what, 3:56, 4:56, something like that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think I'm gonna smoke me a turkey with some jerk seasoning on it, and then make some baked macaroni and cheese. Throw that shit in the smoker too, and just be chilling, man. Just chill, watch football. On Friday, I'm probably going to go over to Six Flags because I'm off. So I'm going to drive up to L.A. and go to Six Flags. And then hopefully watch Miami get this W on Saturday. Pretty much.
Close the week out good, man. Hopefully we have some good news this weekend. Real good news this weekend.
Hey man, can we get like at least two minutes on for the Get Eligible Bowl?
Get Eligible Bowl.
Wait, hold up.
Yeah, Florida State to Get Eligible Bowl.
Man, what y'all think gonna go on with that, man? Florida State got such a high head right now to be under 500. It's crazy, but what y'all think gonna happen?
I think Florida's gonna win.
Yeah, I think I don't even want to say this because I hate Florida. Like I literally hate Florida with a passion. But I think Florida's gonna win.
I hate Florida too. I hate Florida State, but I think I might hate Florida more than Florida State. My sister graduated from Florida, and I hated she went there. It's a good academic school, but I hated she went to Florida. Like I can't stand Florida. Like I hate them
with a passion, man.
Me
but
too.
I just feel like they just gonna come out and just beat State.
Because that Florida defense, even though they can't stop the counter, they figured it out. And I just think them with Mullen getting fired, I think them boys are gonna come out.
I know one thing: Florida ain't gonna play no zone on no 4th and 14. I know that for sure.
No, I know they ain't gonna do that. I'm hearing Anthony Richardson gonna play a lot more Saturday, so we'll see.
Yeah, I got Florida winning that game too.
I think Emory Jones is out. Emory Jones is out for that game, so he gotta play. He's gonna start.
Man, Emory probably ain't even hurt. They just gonna play. I don't know what Mullen had going on up there, but if Florida State don't win, they don't go to a bowl game, right?
Yeah, they'll be bowl.
Whoever lose, don't go bowling. So.
I ain't gonna lie, I hate Florida, like X was saying, but I'd rather see Florida go than Florida State. So I ain't gotta hear nothing about the.
I would rather see Florida State go, but I just don't think they're gonna be.
Nah, I don't wanna see Florida State go because they beat us. And then they in our conference. We're gonna make these big boy hires, and we got the whole offseason to talk. That's all I want.
And I don't wanna hear shit about no state championships, so I need Florida to go ahead and get this W.
Right, I do not wanna hear that. My God, I don't wanna hear no UCF talk with them Florida State boys, man. I don't. I wouldn't mind, though, if Florida State did win or Florida wins. I mean, one of them got to win. We have no business. I want to see one of the boys in the bowl game because I think we do beat them.
We probably won't see Florida. I mean, that makes it even better for Florida to win because I think if Florida wins, then we might go ahead and see them in the bowl game. I mean,
them bowl committees might as well save money, put that thing in Florida and get it over with, man.
Yeah, go ahead and just
don't make it complicated.
I think they were saying if that does happen, that the game would be in Tampa, which it'd be better because I don't want to go back to Orlando. So
yeah, the Gasparilla Bowl, it'll probably be Florida Miami if Florida wins.
Yeah, but if that's in Tampa, we there. I'm definitely going. I mean, that's my city. I ain't gotta get no game hotel, yeah, no I, nothing. Yeah, that's
I,
easy.
I drive up there.
I mean, me personally, I hope. It's not talking about the Holiday Bowl too with UCLA. I think that would be a good game for us. Miami versus UCLA in the Holiday Bowl. That's just me being selfish right here in Diego.
Man, if we go out there, we're going to lose. I'm telling you that right now. We ain't in no position to be going out to Cali to play no damn game right now. You know what I'm saying? But all right, y'all, man. That's 26 degrees every week as promised, man. So happy Thanksgiving from me and the gang. You know what I'm saying? Happy Thanksgiving, man. Y'all spend time with y'all families and everything like that. And we out, man. Peace from Measy.
Peace,
man. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Same.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.